Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
It's time now for Radio I on ABC Radio National.
I have so much to give.
For some reason or other, it grows on you.
For God, look at the type of people who talk like that.
Radio I.
Hi, I'm Brent Clough. And today in Radio I, children's stories of life and death from the provincial city of Battambang in Cambodia. The Cambodian economy and culture have been torn apart by decades of war and strife. Today, Cambodia is undergoing rapid change, but 5 million Cambodians still live on less than $1 a day. Nearly half of the country's population are children, and they face an uncertain future. Earlier this year, documentary maker Virginia Madsen went to Battambang, about 4 hours' drive from the Cambodian capital, Phnom Penh, to spend time with the children of Komar Rikrie. Komar Rikrie is a Cambodian NGO that provides accommodation and support for children who've been living on the streets. Virginia's brother, Robert Madsen, a social worker, was working at Komar Rikrie as a volunteer. Virginia also took her 11-year-old daughter, Lena, with her to Cambodia. And together, Lena and Virginia tell these stories of life and death in Battambang.
To the memory of Petra, who died in Battambang District Hospital, May 2007.
Okay, we're going to Yongnung Trien, Bot Play, Trien, Bong Bot.
Sing a song.
Sing a song, we're going to sing a song. Song is called Komar Rikrie. What does Komar Rikrie mean, young man? What does it mean? Happy? Come recreate happy children.
Happy children.
So you leave.
Ready?
Moi.
Moi.
Pi.
Pi.
Bai.
Bai. One, two, three. Life and death in Battambang.
Children's stories from Cambodia.
Close your eyes, have no fear. The monster's only song, the friendly friend is here. Koma, 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 re-re.
Monster's gone, he's on the run, and your friend is here. Koma, 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 re-re.
Sometong Park.
Koma, 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 re-re.
One limb. Look to Chip. Come here, come here.
Oh, boy.
Now,
yeah,
this banging we've just heard there each afternoon at 5 o'clock and in the morning at 7, the carers of each house will round up the kids, sing the national anthem.
Dee is here with her sister, Dar. I don't know.
Komar Rikrie means happy children.
It's also the name for a children's centre in the countryside of Cambodia. A home to 60 children who have nowhere else to go.
Children who have been picked up on the streets of Bangkok begging. Trafficked children brought to work Hello. In Thai factories.
So what's today?
Cambodian children from the beaches of Pattaya and Phuket.
So today?
Selling flowers and postcards to tourists.
Chumua, Virginia.
They've been picked up as illegal immigrants and taken by the Thai police to the transit centre at Phoi Phet on the Thai-Cambodian border.
This is Rota. Rota is 5 years old. Rota, are you from Manhattan?
Okay.
Hello, Rota. Many of the children went to Thailand with a family member.
Or with an intermediary. Their earnings payment for a family debt.
Some of the kids are just strays, homeless children from the streets of Battambang, with nowhere else left to go. Kids like Petra.
So this is the girl's house, one of the girls' house.
That's me making that funny sound. The kids were all copying me. I played with the children at Kamakrie. I met Leap and Nara and Turin and Petra. They play the same games as us, even though we don't speak the same language.
Petra was a beautiful child.
What happened to Petra?
My name is Petra. I am 16 years old. Khnyom nau pel mien khnyom nau pel domne khnyom cho chet bai phleing. Bai phleing.
By playing, playing music.
Nang ku kum nu.
He likes drawing. He really likes drawing.
Kum nu. Nang sdap phleing.
And listening, sdap playing. He really loves listening to music.
Ai nang chrieng leng.
Trien?
Chrieng leng.
He likes singing. Trien. Singing, yeah? Yeah. What about and Rien Pia Sang Lei? He likes learning English, yeah? His mother has died. His father lives, yeah, around approximately 100 kilometres away. The police, I understand, caught Petra for maybe doing something. I'm not so clear, but my understanding is he was spending time here living on the street because he couldn't live at home. He was taking food, or he was caught by the police doing some petty crime. Might have been taking some food. Not absolutely clear, but he went to the police station. Not so happy in the house because
people.
Nobody.
Mo Thai.
Cuddled him, looked after him.
He's saying that he never felt cared for. There's no one. Kameng Nik Na means no one to really look after him or care for him.
Bang yam man hen prap ke, pro khom khlaat prap ke tu, prap ke, ke ar him nau tin ni.
He was scared. Petra told some of the workers here, or Kamakrie, that he didn't have a family at all. He decided to say that because he was very scared. He wanted to stay here, but he was scared, to tell the workers about this because of the fear that he would be sent back to his family if the workers knew.
These kids' parents are not with their children here, not anywhere nearby. Their families are far away. Maybe the children have never been to school, or their parents are dead.
This is the boy who arrived with the monk.
He's the one that the monk brought in. He's on the train. He's really sorry for this kid.
The monk was too poor to look after his son, so he brought him all the way to Battambang.
Very well, thank you.
Which is almost a day's journey on the bus from Phnom Penh.
I met Petra in the dry season, when the red dust blew over the burnt rice stubble and over all the cars and houses and small roadside stalls selling pineapples and dried fish.
And green mangoes.
In the dry season, the Sankei River is very low, and cows graze on its banks in the town.
I met Petra and all the children in the dry season when I went to visit my uncle at Kamarakriye. Before the rains fell on Cambodia and Battambang, bringing typhoid, meningitis and dengue. It took us half a day to get to Battambang by taxi. Uncle Robert lives just around the corner from the local pagoda. He lives on the top floor of a two-storey traditional Khmer wooden house. He has no air conditioning and it's very hot inside.
Kappa?
Yep. Robert has just woken up.
My seven siren go off. Siren goes off every morning, 7 o'clock, all around Battambang. Wakes me up, if I haven't woken up at 5:30, with the sound of the two pagodas nearby, sound of chanting and singing, and a siren, like a air raid siren. Yeah. World War II, it's like. Siren just goes off, reminding everyone to respect the king of Cambodia. Living in a pagoda is not easy because the chanting and the music of the pagodas are very loud. Sometimes of the year it starts at 4 in the morning. Here's the tea. You want a tea? And then when the siren goes off, the doo-doo, the dog, you'll start singing to the siren. Should happen any minute now. You got no choice, you've got to get up. There it goes. Here's doo-doo. And he's on time.
Just over 10 years ago, Battambang was shelled and evacuated for the last time. These days, Battambang is quite safe for tourists like us.
It's a short minute this morning.
This week in Battambang is Chinese New Year, and every day we wake not only to the sound of the pagoda, but to the firecrackers.
In 1888, while on a hunting safari in the region, an early visitor to Battambang, Monsieur Edgar Boulanger, wrote in his diary, "Battambang is a well-to-do city of 20 to 50,000 people. You will not meet any beggars on your way."
I drive a motorbike every day to work. It's about 10 kilometres from where I live here in this house. And you meet people along the way. And there was an old lady, she's only about 72. She's 72 years old. She works there with her daughter, who must be about 45 or so. But I've got to know her using my own broken Khmer. And she's a survivor, as most people are here, survivors of the Khmer Rouge genocide period. And of course the Khmer Rouge only really left this area in the late 90s, so it's pretty recent, long civil war. And she told me that she lost 7 or 8 of her children. She had a large family. They were all killed, plus her husband, who used to work in the Air Force, I think, in the government before the Khmer Rouge. So. Yeah, she suffered, like a lot of others, a compounded loss, you know, over a long period of time. And now she's just, you know, going about her humble day selling sugarcane juice with her surviving daughter. Sure, I've got the fridge, I've got a nice fridge, I've got a little lounge here, I've got 65 channels on the television. But the moment you walk out, you know, you're walking down the dusty road and you've got the pagoda and you've got the monks in robes, you've got everyone on motorbikes, you know, 5 family members on a motorbike, none of them with helmets.
Sumanjit. Good practice.
Hello.
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 How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, sir.
Very pleased to meet you as well.
Some children have been at Komar Recreé since it opened in 1998. The two deaf girls were found on the streets of Battambang when they were 7 or 8. Their families have never been found.
That's it's a sign language for hello, how are you? She's okay. I think she's okay. She's today, yeah.
At regular intervals, children arrive from the border. Children trafficked for their labour, to work on Thai farms, in factories, karaoke bars, in the booming sex trade. A Land Rover arrives from the border.
We've got the Land Rover here, the IOM Land Rover. It's just arrived from the border of Thailand, and as it sometimes happens when the arrival of new children, we've got two new children, two boys have just arrived. So they would have spent last night in Poipet Transit Centre, and before that they would have been brought across the border by the Thai authorities. So they're coming back to Cambodia.
Do you know anything about them at this stage?
Nothing at all. So the IOM driver here with there's another social worker here. We'll bring them into the main office just in front of us and register them to Komar Recreé. And then Satiwat here is one of the social workers. We'll interview both of them today upstairs in the counselling room. And then they'll be led across to meet their other children here at the centre. And the leaders and the house carers settle in.
Robert is providing on-the-job training for the social workers of Komar Recreé. He's there as part of one of the capacity-building programs across Cambodia, supported by Australian Volunteers International.
My name is Chia Navi.
This is Chia Navi, one of Komar Recreé's social workers. Over 10 years, she's taken charge of 300 cases at the centre. Here she tells us about a girl just returned after some months living with her father and stepmother. This girl is very shy, and since the day she arrived, has been unable to stop shaking.
How not to be a better beggar.
Her father lives in the military barracks, and it's not safe for Tui Vey. It's mainly a place for men.
When the social worker, Navi, visited Tui Vey at her father's house, she found the girl all alone.
When they went to that girl's house, they found that her mother had died. Tui Vey was sitting alone in the house. No one else was there, and in this situation, she was extremely vulnerable to danger. Her stepmother has foster children, and already she caused one child to become blind.
So she's made that girl to be blind. You know, before that girl, her eye is not blind, but because she used a needle to touch into her eyes from day by day to become, now it's blind.
Which girl is blind?
It's a foster.
Another child.
Yeah, another child. But
she has a foster child.
Yeah, her stepmother have a foster child. And now for her stepmother and that girl went to Thailand, go back to Thailand to bucket the money.
Are you saying she blinded her?
Yeah.
To take her to Thailand?
Yeah.
So she could be a better beggar?
Yeah, better beggar.
A better beggar.
Today in Cambodia, the very poor make up more than one-third of the population. Many children must work to survive. Sometimes they can earn more money than their parents.
This is Battambang garbage dump.
At the end of a rough dirt road on the outskirts of Battambang is the local garbage dump. We've gone on the bikes with Robert and Sati Watt. a social worker at KMR who is on the weekly run to assess the children. He's bringing valuable supplies of paracetamol and disinfectant and surgical dressings for the frequent cuts and wounds as kids and families scavenge through the rubbish to make perhaps a dollar a day.
In front of us you've got piles of rubbish and smoke and you can see 7, 8, 9 people working through the rubbish, trying to find anything that they might be able to sell.
What sort of thing?
Like empty bottles. They might get, a couple of cents for an empty bottle or anything else to recycle or even some food. The communities around this dumping ground are very poor, some of the poorest in Cambodia. And Satiwat, of course, our outreach social worker, works here, providing basic medical help and some equipment to them, like gloves, masks, I guess harm minimisation, if you like, and works with the families as well to try and help these parents get the kids to school. Because school is free in Cambodia, but uniforms, books, are not free, so with communities so poor as this, they can't afford it. And also the parents will try and keep the children going to look through the rubbish dump.
Kamar Recrée began its life in places like this, tending to homeless and street children, living off other people's refuse. Many of the families here are returned refugees from the Thai camps, set up after the terrible Khmer Rouge years, and thousands fled Cambodia to escape one of the most crazed and savage regimes in history.
Can you ask him how he did lose his hand?
A man with only one arm rummages through the debris.
At that time, during the war time, a lot of bomb is messy around the land or over the land or under the land. So he didn't know at that time. He didn't know what is the bomb, how the bomb looked like. So he just saw that iron and he think maybe we can sell it.
He mistook a landmine for scrap metal. There are obvious signs of an economic boom in the cities, new opportunities from tourism and the garment industry. But few benefits of the boom can be seen filtering down to the poor here. In many cases, it's bad luck and hardship stories we're hearing. But we also meet farmers who once owned a small plot of land, but have now had it taken from them. A new class of land developer has arrived in Cambodia, working with corrupt military officials and politicians. They force peasant farmers to leave their land, sometimes at gunpoint, with little more than a day or two's notice and little, if any, compensation. In her regular column in the internationally respected Phnom Penh Post, lawyer, activist and writer Thierry Seng wrote, "We are crushed, a soulless nation. We have lost our moral bearings. We have reduced our choices to scraps and tattered spoils."
It's now the truck is coming, so maybe they will be busy to try to...
What is this landscape? On the back of an open garbage truck, kids clamber knee-deep in bags of wet, stinking garbage. They're prodding and tearing apart plastic bags with long metal prongs provided by Kamar Recrée. Like them, we wear cotton face masks in an attempt to reduce the stench. Mounds of smouldering rubbish as far as the eye can see. Plastic bags and burning scraps spiral, rise and fall in the updrafts. It's almost beautiful. In the distance, small dark figures industriously comb the dump, moving amongst the constant eddying of garbage. Like there really might be something of value to be discovered here, if you just keep on looking.
They put on a show for us in a big hall donated by one of the NGOs. The kids danced and Petra played in a traditional music ensemble. This is a story about children and life and death in Battambang. Turin's story. Why poor children go to Thailand.
Turin is the oldest of four children. When she was 15, her father died of HIV/AIDS.
Hai tap mau, pe dai nhom tan nau nang hai, tam ko ro tan nang mai nhom ban hai, ko tan nau khang prei mu tiet, nom nhom tan nau khang prei sai mu tiet.
At that time, it was very hard for us. We didn't have any rice to eat, so all I could do was to go into the forest every day and dig for bamboo shoots. I could either sell these to buy some rice, or we could eat the bamboo if there wasn't enough money, and just have a small amount of rice. Then came the dry season, and my grandmother needed to find another better place to stay. We were working deep in the forest, and I would have missed my mother entirely, because it's incredible. But my mum came back for us.
She came back from Thailand. Yeah. Why did she come back?
My mother missed us so much, so she came looking for us. She'd been asking in the village where she used to live, and one by one, the neighbours told her we'd gone to that forest. It's unbelievable, I know, that she found us. It was a pure accident because I was going to go that day deeper into the forest to find the bamboo. At the last minute, I'd decide, I don't know why, to come back and dig close to the road. I didn't see her, but she saw me first from the motor dock. That's a motorbike taxi. And I turned around to see her calling me.
That's incredible.
After this then, my mother asked my grandparents to bring all of us to live with her at the old place. We stayed with her there 1 month and then, I don't know why, but my mother went back to Thailand to work. When my mother went back to Thailand, she gave the neighbours some money to buy food for us. After a while at the neighbour's house, the owner's children returned to live there, and the parents then asked us to try and find another house. It was then that I called my mother to tell her what had happened. When she heard that, she said, I will bring you all to Thailand. And then one day, she returned to us. It was then that my mother too started to become sick.
Could she see a doctor at all where they were? Were there any doctors?
She went to a hospital, but she soon ran out of money. That's why she stopped going. She never told us what was wrong, what the real sickness was, what happened to her. She never told us. Things became really hard. We had no money and my mother was very ill. I then decided I would go to Thailand to work, and I decided to tell her I wanted to go, but she would not allow me to go there. She said, even if there was no food. So I decided to stop eating, and I fasted for 5 days. 5 days without food. At the end of the 5 days, my mother relented, and so I left to go to Thailand. And I went there for 1 year. For 1 year, I worked in a bottle recycling factory. The bottles had to be broken and cleaned. My job was to collect the caps from the broken glass. But after 1 year, my mother called me to come home. She said she was seriously sick and would not be able to stay alive much longer. She wanted to see me before she passed away. But it was so hard when I left Thailand. I was near the border when the police caught me and put me in jail. They wanted money from me, so I had to give them some before I could get out and cross the border back into Cambodia. It was late, and so I had to stay overnight in Phoi Phet, which is just on the Cambodian side of the border. I stayed with people I knew there, but what I didn't realise was that when I left the next day, all the money I had left had been stolen that night. I had to look again for my mother, and finally I found them, my mother and my brothers and my sister. I was there only a short time when my mother became very seriously ill. After 16 days, my mother passed away, and then a distant uncle came and took us all to live with him. He was the one who contacted Kumar Kriye. It was too much for him to manage us all.
How can she keep her family together?
I hope to get a job to earn enough money, and then I'll bring my brothers and sister to live with me. I'm training in a beauty shop. They already like how skilled I am and want me to come and work in the new shop. Lea Pinar likes swinging on the hammock in the girls' house at Kumar Rikriye. They like singing too, and have a whole lot of songs copied down into exercise books that they want us to hear.
What did this song, Chomri and Me, Ampiyavai? The words, Piet Ampiyavai. Minai Niangmek.
Minai Tha, Shalang. Minai Tha,
Shalang. This song is going to be about love.
Love.
Shalang.
This is a love song.
Boy.
Her name is Leah. She is 13. Her name is Na, and she is 14. They have both been at KMR for 1 year and 4 months.
How did you come to Kumar Rikriye?
I was brought to Phoi Phet from Thailand after the police caught me in the markets. How many years in Thailand? 3 years, Bangkok.
Did she have to work when she was in Thailand selling things?
I had to work, yes, in a factory. I had to carry drink bottles to a big truck. I started at 3 o'clock in the morning and worked late into the night.
We have time for sleep only 1 or 2 hours according to the boss in there or the.
And who, to call her who was her boss?
My boss's name was Tulak. He is a Thai. I lived in one room. They had a boys' room and a girls' room, and in each room there were 3 people.
Leah, did you make any money? Did they pay you any money, or how much money did you get paid?
I got 2,500 baht per month.
That's about 60 to 70 US dollars a month.
Well, what was the worst part about living in Thailand?
Sometimes, if they were tired or the children don't want to work and they feel they just couldn't do it, they wanted to rest for 10 minutes. The boss would use an electric shock or hit them with a stick, or sometimes push gas into their ears.
What do you mean gas? You mean burning, like a...
Yeah, the gas, it's like a lighter, they use gas like this.
A cigarette lighter. He would use it to burn their ears.
And when you were working at this factory, did you get to see your mother or father very often?
No. Never.
But I didn't
know. No, never.
And who took you to Thailand?
My mother took me to Thailand.
I went with a neighbour who lived near our house. She said she could find me a good job in Thailand. This is Na. I went with a lady who needed someone to look after her children in Thailand. She was already working for other Thais in a house and couldn't look after her own children. They gave me 500 baht a month, about 15 US dollars. I was 13.
Now, what was the worst part about living in Thailand for you? Like with Leah, what was the worst for you?
I was afraid when I had to go to the market to buy food. I was afraid someone I didn't know might catch me and then sell me for sex. I was also afraid of all the traffic and when the police might see me and then catch me and put me in prison because I was living in Thailand in an illegal way.
How many are in her family, brothers and sisters?
I have 10 brothers and sisters. I am the youngest. One brother and one sister also went to Thailand to find work. I don't know where the others are.
What about Leah? Does she have many brothers and sisters? And does she know where they are?
She has 6 brothers and sisters. There are only 2 left at home. Another 3 went to find work in Malaysia. One is in Thailand and another one in Vietnam.
Do you want to go home, Leah? Do you want to go home?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Leah and Na are looking visibly upset. We do some breathing and relaxation exercises.
Relaxing in silence where we just close our eyes. Okay? Let's all just close our eyes and just slowly breathe in and slowly breathe out through our nose. Just listen to the silence.
Okay.
We are like this for a long time, me noticing the hundreds of little red ants on the floor. Just quiet, breathing together, a kind of meditation. Distant music from the pagoda. It's always there, in the countryside and streets of Cambodia, winding its way into your memories. It's hot this afternoon. It's been a long day, and the room is quite small. It feels like there's no air to breathe.
It's going to be bright. Your future will be bright. He's holding a beer.
Na is the first to start.
It's okay to cry.
You can hear her, even though she's trying hard not to make a sound. Liep has lost it too now, her face wet with tears. It's too hard.
These two are very brave to talk. This place is safe here right now.
Each of the girls holds a piece of folded paper in her hands.
Na's letter to Lekina.
Paapchi.
To Lekina.
To Lekina?
Yes.
Lekina is the carer, the house carer of the...
The
girls. Do you want us to read it?
Okay. In this letter, he say, Dear Mom Lekina.
Dear Lekina, when you talk, you only talk with the big girl, Dee. You never speak with me or play with me anymore. You play only with her. And I'm so sad I have to sit all alone and cry. But I still love you forever. But you still won't play with me or speak to me like you do with Shrey D. You have lots of fun playing with D. I've watched you and you look so happy. But when I play with you, you never smile. Perhaps you have stopped loving me.
So she sing, have only Lekina can make her feel happy, feel fantastic, and feel fun. But now you have D, so you forget me
100%. I lost control of myself the other day at school in class. My level of study has gone down, and it's because of you.
Liep is in tears again. Na also.
She's also right down the letter to Lekina, but not yet give her.
Does she feel the same too?
Yes, the same.
Sometimes she remembers and thinks of the past, all the bad things, some very bad things, so she will cry all alone. Turin is one of the big girls and she will come and try and calm her. She says, don't think about the past, it's over. You just think about the present and what you are doing now, how happy you are here. The past is over and you cannot get it back. It just makes your heart break, so don't think about those things. In one of the only air-conditioned cafes in Battambang, I talk with an Australian Development Aid worker and academic, Liz Hoban. Liz has been working in Cambodia for more than 7 years on various projects. She's in the process of establishing a commercial flower farm and fine embroidery business with poor village women in the northeast. She's seen many families leave their villages to go to Thailand or a big city. She's seen the effects on boys and girls and families trafficked to Thailand and Phnom Penh for their labour or sex.
There's many desperate families. They're so, so desperate. If they sold everything they had, that many families would not have $5 worth of belongings. The dengue rate this year was phenomenally high. Alcohol's on the rise. Child abuse appears to be, whether it's real numbers going up or it's the fact that we're counting them now. there's certainly out-migration that's occurring at a much more rapid rate than it was even 5 years ago to Thailand to work. It doesn't appear to me in the village that in the villages where we work that more children are going to school. In our villages, there's no girls in secondary school. Foreign sex tourism's alive, and we only have to walk down the main streets of Mon I Vong of an evening or go to some of the bars on the riverside and we can see very clearly what's going on. But the internal trade is quite phenomenal, really, of young village girls coming in to work, whether it's they start off with the factory and then are, you know, moonlighting at night time in karaoke bars, but definitely rich corrupt officials, rich private sector businessmen, multiple wives often, or a wife and many girlfriends, and young girls are very popular for casual or, you know, long-term sexual partners. And of course, business is booming. So this is fueling the demand for these young children coming in from the village. And, you know, they're considered to be highly valued because they're virgin. So the money is around about $1,000, can be more if she's very beautiful and she's a virgin, right down to about $300 or $400. And it gets less as the kids get older. And there's parts of Phnom Penh where it's very, very easy to access young people. A lot of the young kids who are working on the streets and street work or, you know, garbage collectors, whatever, they are so, so vulnerable to being picked up and sexually abused and then moving on, perhaps being trafficked across border.
You were afraid, Lena, in Phnom Penh on the street. You were crying. Do you remember what you saw?
Would you like, you can have a mop or you can have the curry.
Is it still on? Virginia, we can do a commentary. We're all sitting here like La Crochette restaurant. We can think of Paris. Paris. Let's drink to soccer people. Soccer people all. Good health. Yeah, are you vain? Are you vain?
Very good.
It's good beer.
Good beer. Ankle beer.
She was so tiny.
I just ordered a red wine.
It was almost 10 o'clock at night. She had a plate full of champa flowers and roses. I was with Robert and some other Australian expats working in Cambodia. We'd met by chance and were sitting in La Crochette restaurant on Sisawath Quay. A security guard outside the restaurant wanted to shoo the child away. But we were prepared to buy her flowers and I wanted to record.
How old is she?
Tommy? Six. From Moi Chanam.
And how much are the flowers? How much are these flowers?
This is 2,000, that's 500.
You were afraid, Lena, in Phnom Penh on the street. You were crying. Do you remember what you saw?
I saw a little girl like her. She was lying on a dirty footpath, asleep with her mother. Lying only on a small mat. I remember the road was still really noisy with motorbikes, even though it was so late. They seemed so small together there on the ground.
This is Battambang District Hospital.
This was where Petra died, in this hospital, in one of these old rusty beds.
All that possibility gone.
He's just the, this guy's just said there's 40 here. 40 with dengue fever.
40?
Here and upstairs.
In 40, these couple 40, of
40 kids.
Is he the doctor or he's...
No, I'm a nurse.
He speaks English. He's one of the nurses.
I'm a nurse.
A nurse as well.
40 children with dengue fever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this, Robert, was where the Komari Kriei children were?
Yeah, we had maybe 20, here. Like this man over here, he's probably the father, and there's the mother, he's having a sleep. Mother's holding the rag.
She doesn't
rag
look very
her.
Well, that little girl, she looks terrible. Sick.
This is the same bed, and ironically, with this child, he is 9. It's the same bed that Dee from Komari Kriei almost died 6 weeks ago. Same bed, with dengue fever.
This is Varna.
This girl doesn't look good, does she?
No, she looks
she's got meningitis and she's had dengue, and bacterial meningitis, if it is very serious. As you know.
This is the intensive care ward, the paediatric ward. There are no doctors here. They're at lunch, like they were when Petra died. There are 20 kids here, and by the time you hear this, more will have died of meningitis, dengue fever, and drugs wrongly prescribed. Like Petra, they're lying in the stifling heat on old rusty beds hooked to old rusty oxygen bottles. A cat walks through the ward.
Life and death in Battambang.
This program was made possible by the children of Komar Rikrie, Battambang, Cambodia.
Moi, Bi, Bai.
Petra, Di, Da, Turin.
Close your eyes. Have no fear, the monster's only song, the friendly friend is here. Koma, 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 re-re. Koma, 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 re-re.
Monster is gone, he's on the run, and your friend is here. Koma, 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 re-re.
Song Kong Park.
Koma, koma,
Leap. Na. Brota. Nai. Vana. Wero. Surin, Ra, Red, Toi Vey, Mao, Sian, Dara, Rolna, Turin.
Robert Madsen and the children of Komar Rikrie. And thanks to the staff and children of Komar Rikrie for letting us record their stories. The director, Madam Prom King Cheng, Lork Sarpat, and administrator, Neri Watt, who did an extraordinary job as translator. And the sound engineer in Sydney was Mark Don. Life and Death in Battambang was written and produced by Virginia Madsen. And you can find out more about Komar Rikrie, as well as photographs and links, on our website at this address, abc.net.au/rn/radioi. Next week on Radio I, a journey to the far north of Queensland with Jill Knight, who has a love story to tell about her life with Kui, a century-old seagoing yacht, which is her home. That's Every Plank a Fate next week in Radio I. Studio production today was by Tony Barrell and Timothy Nicastri. I'm Brent Clough. And stay tuned to ABC Radio National for a lot more great listening.
Radio I.
Listening to another ABC Radio National podcast, ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.